for this. And so it's not just for youth. You come on out and be a blessing. And if you can't, well, please just pray for us. Just pray for the Holy Spirit, obviously, to work. Pray for smooth transitions. There's a lot of moving parts in a rally like this. And so we certainly covet your prayers there. All right, I'm going to ask, Brother Case, would you mind, we're going to have an offering. Would you mind going over to the piano and tickling just a little bit for the offering? Amen. So have our ushers come, and we'll receive our Deacon Fund offering tonight. By the way, I have a need right here in our church I was made aware of this week. And so we'd like to be a blessing to someone right here in our church that has a need, and I appreciate, again, your faithfulness. Many of you give to the Deacon Fund each week. Hey, even just a couple dollars, it adds up. It really, really does. So let's give tonight as unto the Lord. Brother Becker, would you ask God's blessing, sir?
Father, we're just grateful for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. Thank you for the youth conference. We pray that you guide the right prayer messages for these pastors that are coming. We're just challenge the youth of our day and serve you. Lord, we just thank you for this offering. I pray that you use it to bring your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See if Brother Don could play something soft for us.
Yes.
During that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Case. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Pastor Donald told me what the theme was, and he asks me to preach this Wednesday night message, and I didn't know what his theme verse was, but it appears that we've intersected one another here. And so I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We're going to read verses 9 through 15. And we're going to have our prayer time at the end after the message. And we just want to ask for God's blessing. And isn't it good to be saved? I'm telling you, I was just thinking about that today. My wife and children are down in Virginia visiting her family. And it's our 20th anniversary today. And I just thought about that. And I thought what God has done in that period of time and how he has worked. And my goodness, it just, it's an amazing thing to think about. Don't ever get over it. Some of us got over it a long time ago, and you know, and it shows all over our face. You know, we wonder why we look like we've been baptized in pickle juice, amen? Sucking on lemons. No, boy, I'll tell you, don't ever lose the wonder of it all. Boy, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. Are we perfect? No. Do we sin? Yes. Too much. Amen. But boy, we're still God's children. And boy, making a difference for him. It's wonderful to be part of the local church. Let's stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. As is our custom, let's read responsively. If you do not have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew right there in front of you. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament towards the back of the Bible. We're going to read verses 9 through 15 of chapter 3, a familiar portion of Scripture, and I'd like to preach a message to you tonight simply titled right out of the verse in verse 10, "Let every man take heed how he buildeth." Let every man take heed how he buildeth. Let's read. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. You read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 15. Beginning in verse 9, For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Father, we pray your blessing upon this message. Lord, I thank you that I stand here not in my own goodness, for all that I am are filthy rags. All that I am is wickedness. But Lord, I stand here in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We meet together tonight, Lord, because you have saved us. And you've called us to gather together and proclaim your goodness and your gospel. We pray that you would please be with the message tonight. I pray if there be one here tonight that knows not Christ, Lord, that today they would make him their own personal Savior. Lord, for those of us that are saved, may each of us take heed how we are building for you. We love you. We thank you for all things, and we thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. What you live for, what is most important to you, is what you are building your life upon. Let me repeat that. What you are living for, what's most important to you, is what you are building your life upon. Many build their lives upon money. The hunger for more and more money. And the Bible has a lot to say about money. By the way, the Bible does not say that having money is bad. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Some live for possessions. Gotta keep up with the Joneses and get the next new thing. And if they don't get that, then they're always upset about it and heading towards that. Some people live for pleasure. It's all about the next pleasure in their lives. Some live for fame. Some live for popularity. Some, listen now, some live for their children. That's a problem. If you live for your children, you've got something out of balance. Listen, I have children and I love my children. I do things for my children. You do things for your children, all God's people said. But you know, I had life in Christ long before those kids ever came along. Some people live for sports. Some people live for their children's sports. Huh? Some people live for security. And you could fill in the blank with 100 other things that people build their lives upon. Many of these are wonderful and right in their proper place. But the Bible still says, ladies and gentlemen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus Himself, speaking of discipleship in Luke chapter 14, said, "He that cometh after me and hateth not father and mother cannot be my disciple." Listen, you and I both know that Jesus is not saying there to hate your mother and father. He's saying that our love for Him, His place in our lives, ought to be so far above everything else that it makes our love for others seem like hate. In our text in verse 10, in the back half of the verse there, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, He talks about him being a wise master builder and an architect. Many of you may or may not know, my wife is about 10 credits shy of a bachelor's degree in architecture. She designed the second phase of our church back in Holyoke. And so she knows what it takes when you think about that. You don't just build something. You lay it out. You plan it out. The Apostle Paul here says that he's a wise master builder. He says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. That word, those two words, take heed, it's a little Greek word. It's called blepo. It's in your King James Bible. It's translated 135 different times and in different ways. It means this: to see, to discern, to weigh carefully, to contemplate, or to examine. Many of you know that before I came to be your pastor, I was what they call a bivocational preacher. Most of the preachers I know in New England are bivocational. Churches are not as large as ours and can't afford maybe two staff members. And so one fellow will work a job full-time and then minister full-time. And my bivocation was I was an aircraft parts inspector. I was somebody who checked out those parts. So think about that the next time you fly. Yeah. Amen? Mostly government stuff, so you guys are all off the hook. Amen. And I remember there was certain parts. It's amazing what you can remember, Brother Jim. I can remember part numbers. I can remember not only part numbers, I can remember specs that go along with those part numbers. I could tell you, I'm thinking of a part right now, a fracture critical tie rod. It was in what they call the hot section of the engine. And what that meant is if that tie rod gave way, that engine would blow completely. Just one little tie rod, there was eight of them. They came in sets. They were serialized. The threads, 3/8, 24. And each one of those threads, there was five components to a thread that all had to be recorded and were all critical. And you know what, Brother Jim, when we got those parts in, they weren't just any parts. We had to take heed to know if something went wrong with these parts, if we didn't do our job, it could result in the loss of life. Here it says, take heed. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The theme of our youth conference, young people, is build your life upon Christ. That's a great theme. That's a great theme. I commend you, Pastor Donald, for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A wonderful theme. Why? Because only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And young people, many of us are building our lives. I think of some of our sweet seniors. Your life is almost built completely. God's going to call you home. Young people, don't wait until you get older to build your life on Christ. Build it now. Build it now. I want to give you 7 points right out of our text and then 4 quick applications. Every man take heed to what? Take heed to some things. Look at verses 8 and 9. Remember what Paul was dealing with here. Those of you that know your Bible know that Paul was dealing with divisions, which he said is the product of a carnal church. Show me a church where there's divisions and people bickering and biting each other, and I will show you a church that is not spiritual but carnal. You say, where do you get that? Right out of 1 Corinthians 3. Paul said, are there divisions? Are there envyings? Ye are yet carnal. I've fed you. I wanted to feed you with meat, but I have to feed you with milk like a baby because you're carnal. And so Paul comes out of that here in verse 8. He says, remember what happened? There were people that said, well, I like Apollos' preaching. And I like Paul's preaching. And I like Cephas' preaching. And by the way, that still goes on today. People preferring one another. You know what I like? Bible preaching. Somebody comes into our church and they just preach the Bible, I like it. He says there in verse number 8, really verse 6 if you look at it, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, But God gave the increase. He was saying here, we're in it together. We're in it together. Not that one of us is better than the other. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers, what?
Together.
First thing, folks, I want us to take heed to, and especially young people, I want you to take heed to tonight, is the other builders of your building. It says right there, we are laborers together. The older you get in the ministry, if you've been around church any length of time, I'll tell you, you learn this. We are not in this alone. We work together. We are the body of Christ. We're not just the hand. We're not just the head. We're not just the shoulder. That body that God put together, He gave us a graphic illustration of how the church ought to function. And listen to me, young people, as you are taking heed to building, as it says there in verse 10, you need to take heed to the other builders of your building. Romans 14:7 says this, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. You are not an island. You can't, listen to me young people, that's why you can't quit. That's why you can't just walk away from church, because it's like cutting off a finger. Amen? And we need you, and you need us. Hey, we need your zeal and strength, and you need our wisdom. It's the way it's supposed to work. So take heed. Let every man take heed how he buildeth. Take heed to the other builders of your building. You know, there's people that have been building their life on Christ for 40 and 50 and 60 years, young people, and you ought to get around them. You ought to get around them. You ought to learn from them. They can help you. They've made mistakes that you're about to make. Huh? Number two. Let every man take heed how he buildeth. Number two, take heed to the fact that you are right now building your building. You are right now building your building. It says there in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. Verse 10. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 12. Now if any man, what? Build. You see, right now you are building, and I hate to tell you this, young people, but you can't get out of it. You're going to build something. It may be a shack, and it may be sitting sideways, like a lot of us. Come on. But you're building something. Now, again, you folks know, I'm about as handy with a hammer as some of you can sing a high E. Amen? And me and Oakley got that joke right there. I'm not good with tools. I tell you what, I would get somebody to help me to build. But I know this, I am building my own life right now. I'm building my life. I'm building it. I can't get out of it because number three, not only the other builders of your building, the fact that you are building your building, number three, and probably most important of all, is the foundation of your building. Like I said, I'm not handy, but I know this, the most important part of any building is the foundation. It has to be right. If it's not right, eventually the building will collapse. Eventually it'll sit to the side. Eventually it'll have to be repaired, and it will be a very expensive repair. Look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen to me, young people. You cannot build your life upon Christ if you have never received Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You can't build your life on a whole bunch of good works. It's not going to work. You can't build your life upon the fact that one day you went up there and were baptized. If you went up there baptized and never received Jesus Christ, all you did was get wet. That's all you did. And listen, I know sometimes we struggle with doubt, and I preached on that a couple weeks back, but listen to me, Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and He lived a perfect, sinless life, and He died on the cross so that anyone who wanted to could go to heaven. But people don't go to heaven just because Jesus did that. You have to receive Him yourself. You have to acknowledge that you are a sinner and are in need of a Savior and simply ask. What did He say? He said, let him that is athirst come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. You see, the most important part of this message, the most important part of this rally is that perhaps there are some that are trying to build their life, but they've never laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. You're not going to build anything. You're just going to build a mess. Didn't we do that before we got saved, folks? Amen. Oh, we tried to build something, and it didn't work at all. Well, I'm not saying we've been a complete success since. I sure haven't. But we're the foundation's good. The foundation's good. Number four, the materials of your building. The foundation of your building, the fact that you are building your building, the other builders of your building. Verse number 12, the materials of your building. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what's the foundation? Jesus Christ is my Savior. Gold, silver, precious stones. Gold, silver, and precious stones. I think each one of us could agree about those. They're valuable. They're hard to obtain. They're permanent. Wood, hay, and stubble? None of the above. You put fire to gold, silver, and precious stones, and on the other side you'll have gold, silver, and precious stones, and probably a better quality. You put fire to wood, hay, and stubble, and you'll get ashes. You know what? The materials, young people, take heed to the materials that you build. That has to do with why you do what you do for the Lord. It doesn't have to do with the quantity. It has to do with the quality. It has to do with the heart. Hey, why do I run that vacuum sweeper? Well, Pastor Donald said we had to. Now, we appreciate that, young people. Come on, church, amen. We appreciate that. But if you want a reward one day, do it because you love Jesus. Hey, Sunday school teacher, why do you do what you do? Is it because, hey, I'm the teacher and I have to? Or is it because I love Jesus and I love those little boys and girls? Those are the materials. Those are the materials. Take heed. Take heed to how He buildeth. Number five, look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Number five, notice the inspection of your building. Remember, we're building our lives upon Christ. We're building a building for God with our lives. One day we're going to stand before God at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a new believer, don't let this confuse you. This is not the great white throne judgment, that last judgment of Revelation. They're different. They're different. The judgment at Revelation is for those who never laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. And they are in their sins and they have to give an account for their sins. You and I that have received Christ and we've laid that foundation, our sins have been paid for, and all God's people said. but will give an account for how we built upon that foundation. Did we build with the right material? Did we build upon that foundation? Were we conscious of the fact that we're always building? There's going to be an inspection. I mentioned that I worked in aerospace. I was what they call a final inspector. I was the one who put his stamp on parts that went out the door. There was a lot of times where salespeople tried to get me to cut corners. God bless them. Gotta love salespeople. No business without salespeople, but no good business without quality either. And I remember one time, this dear lady, she says, "You need to get this and ship it out." I said, "I will be glad to ship it out. I'll ship it out right now. I won't even look at it. But I won't put my stamp on it." You see, one day, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is going to inspect our building. I don't know about you, that I think about all the times where I haven't been a good builder. If you're looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, I wonder if you know the New Testament like I do. I'm telling you what, it is not going to be a time of... It's going to be a time of this, folks. Just right down on the ground, face down as he looks at it. And he tries that building by fire. And if our materials are good, point six says, the rewarding of your building. What's it say in verse number 14? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Hey, the wise man built his house upon the rock, Matthew 7 tells us. And the floods came and the rains and it couldn't move the house. Why? Because it was founded upon the rock. What was that? The man that founded his house upon the rock, the wise man that received a reward here, he heard the word of God and did it. It's not much deeper than that, ladies and gentlemen. It's really not. The last point, point number seven, is the shame of your building. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But pay attention here, this is the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The shame of our building will be what we didn't do for Jesus. Because we loved Him. What we did for the pat on the back. What we did to be seen of men, to make sure everybody could see us and say, "Oh, what a wonderful servant." Gone. And there we are, as the old song says, standing in the ashes, looking at Jesus with nothing to give Him. I think it was yesterday or the day before, was the four-year anniversary. My dear friend, Pastor Adam Summers, had a house fire. Many of you remember that. We gave. Boy, I thank God for you precious people. We gave a huge offering to them to be a blessing. But I remember him talking about just basically getting him, his wife, his children out of the house. And then, Brother Jim, it was gone. Everything was gone. And he talked about how, you know, he lost suits and books and guns and things like that. But you know what he said, Meemaw? The thing he missed most was the pictures. The drawings that his kids had made for him. And listen, young people, take heed how you build. As a pastor, I don't want you to stand at the judgment seat of Christ in a pile of ashes. I want you to have gold, silver, and precious stones to lay back at your Savior's feet and say, "The only reason I got to do any of this was because you died for me and gave me the strength and the power." So how can we build our lives upon Christ? Real quick, go over to Colossians chapter 2. And I'll just throw this at you, and we're going to have prayer. Colossians chapter number 2. How can we build our lives upon Christ? How can we build upon that foundation that's laid when we get saved, when we trust Jesus as our Savior? We lay the foundation, and then we start building. We start putting up that board in our house and making it. How can we build a proper spiritual house for Jesus Christ? It says there in verse number 6 of Colossians 2. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's laying the foundation, right, folks? You received Christ Jesus the Lord. And what does it say? So walk ye in Him. Can I put that in our terms today? If you say you're a Christian, act like it.
Yeah.
Amen, church? If we say we're Christians, if we name the name of Christ, act like it. Live like it. Then he says this, right along with the theme, rooted and built up in Him. More and more, I said to Pastor Donald today, more and more and more, and I hope you'll forgive me for this. If you don't, it's between you and the Lord. More and more, Brother Morris, I believe my messages keep saying, get in this book. The more this book is hated, the more I need to say, get in this book. The more this book is neglected in our lives, the more as a pastor I need to thunder and say, get in this book. You can't build your life upon Christ without being in the Word of Christ. Four things. Four applications. Young people, they'll help you all your life. Us older people, they'll help us too. Number one, how can I build my life upon Christ? Speaking of the Bible, know it in your head. Know it in your head. Read it, study it, memorize it. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, you know why? When you've laid that foundation in Christ and you know this book, you know why you don't have to sin? Because you've got the truth. You know the truth, and the truth has set you free from sin. You got to know it in your head. Just listen, get in this Bible. I hope you'll understand my heart. Don't depend on me to know the Bible for you. Now, there's something to that as a pastor. You should be able to go to your pastor and say, preacher, boy, can you help me with this verse? Absolutely. I'm here for that. But I'm not with you 24/7. You need to know the Bible. You need to memorize the Bible. You say, I don't know where to start. You come see me, I'll give you 100 verses to memorize. I've got a piece of paper, 100 verses every Christian ought to memorize. You got to know it in your head. But then, not only know it in your head, but stow it in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Miss Lolly, why do we teach him all those verses, and why do we go through all that those memory verses? There's going to come a time when they're going to need them. There's going to come a time. We go through truth trackers and we have these individual awards, these young people memorizing verse after verse after verse. I can't tell you the amount of times, Brother Stark, as my boys and I are doing devotions, my son Eric will say, that was my memory verse in the class. Know it in your head, but stow it in your heart. Can't build your life upon Christ apart from this book. Can't do it. Number three. Show it in your life. Show the Bible in your life. Ephesians 4:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. People ought to know when you're in school, young people, when we're at work, older people, when we're at the breakfast place, older people, people ought to know we're Christians. I'll never forget the time I was up visiting Miss Taverney in the hospital, Brother Morris. And you probably remember this. And it was my day off, and I think I had just mowed the lawn or something. And I come up in jeans, and I had on a shirt, just a regular shirt, and because I knew she was sick and she'd want me to come up. And I got in the elevator, and I had my Bible, and there was somebody, and they kind of looked at me, and we just struck up a conversation. And I said, "What are you doing? You know, I have here, you have loved ones here." And they said, "Yes." And talking, I said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm a preacher." I said, "Preacher?" I said, "I thought you were the pizza man." I got up to the hotel room, talked to Miss Noel, and she gave me the business because I was in. You remember, Brother Morris? Because I was wearing jeans and a tee, and then of course she said, "I'm so glad you came," and she was just joking with me. But you know, something hit me there, Brother Keith. When I go to the hospital, this is the way I want to look.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm a preacher.
That's right.
That's who I am.
Right.
Show it in your lives that you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Show it in your lives that you believe this book. Hey, it's coming to it, folks. This old world is winding down. And pretty soon, we're not only going to have to choose sides, but we're going to have to step forward and say, "I'm a Christian." And if persecution comes with that, then it comes with that. But I'm a Christian. I believe this book. I'm building my life upon Christ. Lastly, know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, and sow it in the world. Sow it in the world. A sower went out to sow his seed, Luke 8:5 says. In verse 11 of Luke chapter 8 says, "And the seed is the word of God." How do I build my life upon Christ? I share him with others. Why wouldn't I? I've got the greatest news that anyone has ever heard. You can be saved from an eternal hell and get an eternal heaven. How do I build my life upon Christ? I tell others about him. Listen to me, young people. None of that matters if you don't lay the foundation first. You can take the Word of God and you can know it in your head and you can stow it in your heart and you can show it in your life and you can sow it in the world and be lost as a ball in high weeds. You got to come to that question that Pilate asked. Everybody has to answer Pilate's question. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You have to ask yourself, am I good enough for heaven? The answer is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Am I good enough for heaven? For the wages of sin is death. Ask yourself this question, have I ever sinned? The answer is yes. The wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Everyone here in this room, in this country, on this planet deserves hell. But Jesus Christ came and died. And he said, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with him." It's yours for the asking. You've got to lay that foundation. If you've never laid that foundation, I want to tell you tonight, we can have somebody take an open Bible. What a great way to start off the youth conference, Pastor Donald, amen? With a young person getting saved. That's what it's all about. But after that, whether you're 18 or 80, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We're going to stand before God one day. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's a motivator. Dear man, I'll close with this. Dear man, Brother Red Turner, I met him, good night, 15 years ago. And Brother Red, he's from North Carolina, so his name was not Brother Red, his name was Brother Red. Amen? I joke with him, so where'd you get that accent? New Hampshire? Amen. And I met him and talked to him. Brother Red at that time was 72 years old, so he'd be in his upper 80s now. And I met him because he loved Dr. Malone, and he always picked up Dr. Malone at the airport. Anytime Dr. Malone would come down and preach at this church in North Carolina. I said, I love Tom Malone. And I began to just strike up a friendship. You couldn't help it. What a wonderful layman and bus captain for almost 40 years, Brother Jim. 40 years. And I asked him one time, I said, tell me about your bus visitation. And I actually went out with him on Friday. He said, we have a bus breakfast at our church about 9 a.m. And he said, and our preacher gives the word of God, and we eat, and we leave out of there about 9:30. And I said, when do you get home, Brother Red? He said, about 5. 72 years old. And I said, my heavens. And he said, I got a country route. Takes a long time to fill up a bus. I said, how do you stay out there for hours and hours and hours and hours on end? And Brother Price, he began to tear up. I watched this withered face here, and the weather-beaten brow, and I saw tears just leak out of his eyes as he said, the judgment seat. The judgment seat. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to introduce you to Him. But for the rest of us that are saved and maybe haven't been taking heed to our building lately, maybe it's time to hit the altar. We're going to have a time of altar prayer for this conference, but we can start right off with an altar time. Let's bow our heads, close.